Hello, Burlington. Welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, Vermont, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. In this podcast series, we'll be sharing ways we can all reduce our energy usage for heating, transportation, and everything we plug in, all while sourcing our entire energy supply from renewables. In our first few episodes, I've spoken with members of the Burlington Electric Department team. But today, I'm sharing my conversation with one of your neighbors here in Burlington. Dan Castrogano, along with his wife Laura, have transformed their home to net zero energy. Dan shared his experiences with heating and even cooking, as well as the financial considerations he took into account in their transition away from fossil fuels. So let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Dan. Dan, welcome. We're so happy to have you here with us at BED this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, well, we know that you're a new parent, so we're especially appreciative of your time and realize that you may be a little sleep deprived. So it means a lot that you've come down to 585 Pine for us. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Yes, I had part of the overnight shift, but made it here today, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks. And thanks to Laura, because we know it takes two. And so you being here and Laura being home, we appreciate your division of labor. Thank you for
that's
that.
That's right. It's a team effort.
Yeah, for sure. A team effort.
Yeah.
And it's a team effort in sort of thinking about, as a partnership, what it means to transition away from fossil fuel. So maybe we'll just dive right in. You know, Dan, as you know, BED is transitioning away from fossil fuels in both the transportation and thermal sectors as part of our net zero energy strategy. So we were happy to hear about your home in the New North End. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about the project and what inspired you to do that work.
Certainly, yeah. So for my whole adult life, I've lived in apartments and places where I don't have direct control over heating and cooling, and care deeply about the climate crisis. And so finally have direct control over our own home. And that was pretty much the first thing that we knew we were going to do, is to decarbonize everything and not burn fossil fuels on site.
So when you bought your house in February, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
And so tell us about the first order of business. I don't think the listeners know about the full scope of your project. It'd be great to hear about.
That's right. So now I'll try to see if I can get the timeline right. But I think the first thing we did was we contacted Efficiency Vermont, and they came and did a full audit and just told them what we wanted to do. We don't want to burn any fossil fuels. What does that entail? What should we do? What are the steps? How much do you think it'll cost? What are the rebates? And anytime we had a question, he was extremely helpful.
So this was back in February you started. You had an audit first.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the house originally had when you bought it and what it entailed to move away from natural gas?
Yeah, so it was built in 1955 in the New North End. There were four things that burned gas. The dryer was one, and then the heat, and then the hot water, and then the stove. So those were the four gas lines that I desperately wanted to turn the yellow handle and turn them off forever. And so we basically went through one by one and took care of all four of those things.
So it's really unusual that people have induction cooking. So I definitely want to hear more about that. Can we start, though, with the shell of the building? It sounds like you began with weatherization work.
Yeah, so the walls and the attic were insulated and the basement was not. And so we had a crew for 3 days or so in our basement, putting up the insulation and sort of like in all the corners and the nooks and crannies to insulate everything.
So that's great to hear, because I think there's this misnomer that you would replace windows first and foremost, but we understand that really the greatest heat loss is roof or attic and basement. So it sounds like the walls and attic were good, but it was the basement that needed work. So you tightened up your house first.
Yeah, that's right. And even if even if you're still burning gas, you should still do that to insulate all buildings so we use less energy, no matter what.
Right. And then it was the heat pump. Can you talk about what your heat pump system is like?
Yeah, so we have a little house. It's 900 square feet, a little ranch. And we ended up getting three units. It's two bed, one bath. So one for each bedroom. Those are 6,000 BTUs. Those are smaller. And then for the main space, the 12,000 BTU, which is amazing because, like, at night or whenever, we can just turn the different areas on and off. And so we use not very much electricity to heat the house. You know, at night we turn the main space off and we're just in the bedrooms. And so it's fabulous.
That's great. And tell us about the quality of the heat. We know that, you know, some of us in Vermont are used to radiators and a different kind of warmth than that might come from a heat pump. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's excellent. I mean, the units are kind of up on the walls. There's split units, right? So there are three around the outside of the house. There are these little remote controls, and you set it. And then basically the two things I use it for is to set the temperature and then to either increase or decrease the fan, which is how hard it's pushing the heat out. But they're incredibly responsive, incredibly quiet, and they work perfectly.
You talked a little bit about the dryer and the induction stove. Can you tell us more about those two appliances?
Sure, yeah. So the dryer was really easy. We just unhooked it and we just hang dry our stuff, which uses the least amount of energy. And then I actually just gave it away in the Buy Nothing group on Facebook, and so somebody took it, which is great. The induction cooktop we got from Home Depot. It's wonderful. I've had electric and gas, but never induction. Induction is the most efficient, and it is amazing. It's so easy to clean. It's so fast. You can bring water to a boil so quickly. The biggest reason for anybody and for us, one of the big reasons aside from the climate crisis to for the gas stove especially, is the health impact of burning gas inside of your house. So it's I just watched Dr. Leah Stokes, who was testifying in front of Congress. Kids are 42% more likely to develop asthma if they have a gas stove in the house. And it just releases all kinds of pollutants. Just imagine the back of a car and just in your house. And so sort of messaging around why you would decarbonize, the health, if you say your health will improve, if you do this, is often the best approach.
You know, we often forget about the health benefits of induction cooking. And I think that's an important thing, particularly as we tout our rebates.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've been able to get all of the rebates. I wanted to share the full numbers, actually. So the whole project, $21,000. And our rebates were about $7,000. So a third of it was free, which is fantastic. Looking at $14,000 to $21,000 is a different story.
Yeah, for sure. I am curious about the induction cooking because we hear from sort of top chefs and European chefs that this is really a quality way to cook. It's not just, of course, health and a fossil fuel reduction or elimination. Can you talk about the cooking process?
My wife, Laura, likes to drink tea. I mean, that alone, it just boils basically instantly. We eat mostly plant-based stuff, so we cook everything on the stove, you know, like sautéing mushrooms and like vegetables and stuff like that. It's super fast. And then even the safety too, which is something I think we should talk about too, is like if you lift up, you know, it's magnetized. So if you lift up the pan or the pot and you touch it, you're not going to get burned. So from all those perspectives makes induction cooking, I think, by far the best choice.
Yeah, that's so interesting, the safety part. And now as a parent, you know, just thinking about little hands sort of reaching up and the importance of ensuring everybody stays safe.
Yeah, definitely. It's far safer. I mean, the number one reason was to not have that air pollution in our home, but then also the safety of hot surfaces as
right.
well.
Yeah. So right now you're drying on a rack, it sounds like, or maybe outside. Do you have any plans to replace your dryer, or are you going to stay the course as long as you can?
We might. It's certainly more work. It's a lot of work to hang everything up. We're also going cloth diapers, which is a huge lift as well.
Literally and figuratively,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So we're considering I think there are electric dryers and then like heat pump dryers. I'm not sure. I think those are the two categories, but we don't have one for now. And we're hang drying both outside and inside. And then part of the hang drying inside is actually you get a little humidity from the stuff that dries, especially in the winter. So it's kind of like a humidifier, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Wow. So good luck. I hope you can stay on that trajectory as long as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, the diaper thing is tough, having done the cloth diaper thing myself.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's good. Yeah. But there are certainly electric dryers. And of course, we have rebates for those as well through
cool.
Efficiency Vermont. So Dan, it sounds like you've made tremendous inroads, and we really want to thank you for serving as a model as we talk about net zero energy and residential properties. What plans do you have next? Sounds like you probably have a checklist, particularly given your professional commitment to climate change.
Yeah, so we've considered solar. on our house. On the backside, we have some trees. I've talked to Paul about buying into community solar, and then was on an email chain recently that dead-ended, essentially, saying there is no community solar for you to buy into right now, which I think we'd prefer to do, to sort of support the whole community instead of having on our own, having solar panels on our own roof.
It is something we need to look at, because we have more and more homes that want to go solar and can't because of tile or, you know, slate or trees, and we are hearing it more and more, a request and sort of demand. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Okay.
Well, Dan, this has been so enlightening. I'm curious if there's anything else you want to share with listeners.
If anything is to again talk about the urgency and the scale and the severity of the climate crisis. We have to decarbonize our buildings, and that's one huge sector. And so I'm appreciative of Burlington Electric for the rebates. We just have to do it as fast as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome, Dan. Thank you. You're really an inspiration to all of us, and we're so happy to have a model that we can point to. So thanks to you and Laura for all your work.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding rebates, incentives, and technological support, don't hesitate to look for us at burlingtonelectric.com, to call us at 865-7300, or to follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help, and we look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.